Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Welcome to Go Touch Grass.
Go Touch Grass.
The podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Wow, guys. I have brought something today for this search history that it couldn't have been voted on search history because no one would have voted for it because I'm like the only person in the world who would know what this is.
Well, apparently not, but also you brought it up and I was like, yeah, just do it. Don't even ask. Just do it. And now I regret that.
You should be scared. Everyone listening should be scared because today's topic is truly from the depths of Harry Potter, early 2000s Harry Potter online fandom in a way that is... I thought I knew about this topic. And then as I was researching it more, I was truly shaken to my core by what I learned.
Okay. yeah, I'm scared.
Today we are talking about Snape wives.
Okay.
So I texted you to ask if we could do this topic. And I was like, Millie, have you ever heard of this? And you were just like, Elise, no.
Why would I? Yeah.
Why would you have heard of this? Okay. So one thing I want to shout out before we begin is that I got a lot of this information from a creator who, her name is Biz, which is funny because that's my cat's name. Her handle is Up In Your Biz on YouTube and TikTok. And she did literally a 3 hour long, like deep dive, philosophical video essay about the Snape wives.
Wow.
And we are not going that deep here.
I really just want to shout out YouTubers like that, mm-hmm. because the thing is that they take something and they summarize it in whatever, and then we take from them. And
literally,
still even more.
I could never have done the research required to like uncover a lot of this information because, like I said, a lot of it is from the early internet. So you have to go into like archive.org to find a lot of this stuff. So, okay, before I get into this topic, I have to ask you, what do you know about the character Severus Snape?
Well, I read all the books.
Okay. So then you know his whole lore.
Yeah, like he was like moody and a dick, but he's really nice. I could see the appeal of like why that's attractive to a girl. Cause it's kind of like Beauty and the Beast, kind of like he's an asshole, but he really has good intentions. Which I told you, the French guy I used to date, he majored in literature. Like he got his, or mm-hmm. he lied to his mom about getting his master's. It's a whole thing, whatever. But he told me that Beauty and the Beast was actually like propaganda for poor people to like feel bad about rich people, like post, the French
really
Revolution
interesting.
And shit.
Like, that's like, look how sad.
Look how sad. And like, they're good people. They just may be monsters on the outside, but in the inside and all this stuff. So I could see that appeal, but Snape was a dick.
Yes. So, okay, for anyone listening, I mean, it's insane if you're listening to this episode and you're like, you don't know literally jack shit about Harry Potter, but in case, Snape is like anti-hero. He's the teacher. He's the potions teacher. He's mean to Harry. We later find out that he was bullied by Harry's dad and Harry's dad's
good
friends.
Reason.
Yeah, I know. Like, he was like wizard racist also. And then...
wait, the dad was?
Snape was.
Oh.
Snape was wizard racist.
Oh, okay. But also, Harry's dad shouldn't have bullied him. I don't know.
But I don't know. I think that James is more complicated than that. But
okay,
it is like people are like, oh, feel bad for Snape, but then Snape calls Lily the wizard N-word.
Okay, but I thought he had a crush on her.
Yes, but he still calls her the wizard N-word.
Wow.
And that's why they stopped being friends.
Wow.
And then she...
Which is muggle.
Yeah. He says, mudblood.
Mudblood.
He calls her that in front of everybody, even though secretly they've been really good friends since they were children.
Wow.
And he calls her wizard N-word. And then when he finds out Voldemort is going to kill her and James, he asks Voldemort to spare just her, not her husband and her child. But then when Voldemort isn't really going to do that, he turns spy for the good side and goes to Dumbledore and, like, tells him to protect Lily and James and protects Harry. So, like, supposedly he is, like, a reformed bad guy. Okay. I personally don't find him to be great. I think he gives me incel vibes that he's like, I love her, but I don't respect a core part of who she is. And, like, I mean, will have her. And she never showed any interest in him other than being friends. And then he called her the wizard N-word.
I mean, at least let me tell you something about dating apps. There are Trump supporters swiping right on me, trying to take me out. And I'm like, what is going on?
That's kind of the
cognitive
thing.
Dissonance, but guys love that.
It's like you're going to join a group of people that literally want to, like, kill her, but then also be like, I loved her until the day I died. And, like, I will always love her. It's like, no, you didn't. You wanted to kill her son and her husband.
Well...
just so that you could have her wet. Like, in what way? Anyway. So
very
that's
real.
The
like
Snape lore. Now, I'm going to start us out. This is literally just the intro paragraph of the, like, fandom wiki about Snape wives. And okay. It's going to give us an overview of this topic.
Okay.
And it honestly made me laugh just to read it. So, the Snape wives, also known as Snapeists. Not a great name.
Okay.
Snapeist, I'm going to say, is not something... we have to rework Snapeist, but I am unfortunately going to have to say Snapeist a bunch of times. The Snape wives, also known as Snapeists, are a group of women in Harry Potter fandom who believe that they channel Severus Snape, in parentheses, allow his spirit to inhabit their bodies and speak to him, and engage in romantic relationships with him, and see him as a vital spiritual guide for their daily lives. They practice Snapeism, a new religious movement centered on Snape. They believe that Severus Snape is not simply a character in the Harry Potter books, but an omniscient and immortal deity, and in fact believe that the books were written because J.K. Rowling was channeling Snape. How does that make you feel?
I mean, you know, regretting starting a podcast on the internet because I would have died not knowing this, but also in my head, I'm like, okay... to me, I'm just like, there are better characters. Like, if you're gonna, like, fuck a character, like I'm just thinking, like, I would be the protagonist from Mulan. Like, that guy, I wanna, like, okay, let's go with that guy. Or, like, you know, Scar's son in Lion King 2.
People love to think they can fix him.
Khufu has potential. He had, like, a bad background, so you feel bad for him. But fucking Snape, I'm like, he's... And it also just reminds me in my anthropology class. In another life, I'm a full-blown anthropologist, sociologist, which
yes.
Not too far from being a comedian. But
true.
One of the books we read and studied was the Women of the KKK and mm-hmm. Women of the Hate Movement. And, like, 9 times out of 10, it's like most of the women, the whole crazy thing is, like, most of the women in the KKK don't even hate Black people that much. They just like a guy who hates Black people, and or they Jesus like the Christ. Community. And it's a study about, like, the search of community for these women. So that's what this reminds me of like, you don't care. I don't know. I'm like,
no, I get exactly what you're saying. And it actually very much helps me segue into the background. I want to start with just, like, the background of fandom in general that is, like, the foundation of this shit. So, June 26, 1997, the first Harry Potter book is published.
Damn.
Okay? So the thing that is unique about the Harry Potter, like, fantasy fandom is that it is one of the first, if not the first, like, major fantasy fandom to be around during the internet where like new canon is coming out during the time of the internet. Cause you know, like Star Wars probably like immediately predates it, but Star Wars fans had to like go to conventions, meet up in person, maybe like early internet. Some people were doing forums and stuff, but like by the time the internet came around, the first major Star Wars films were all out and existed.
And there was lore already.
And we didn't necessarily know that the prequels were going to come out, but like the main base of Star Wars was already out. Whereas Harry Potter, it's like these books are coming out and people can like in real time, like have guesses about what's going to happen and like predict different stuff and then like have a new book coming out. And so the fan fiction around Harry Potter is pretty much immediate too. Because people are able to like speculate in groups and forums and do the art and all of this shit. So that is like kind of the interesting, unique thing about the Harry Potter fandom. So by 1998, we have the first Harry Potter fanfic, which is published online. And the second Harry Potter fanfic ever published is about Severus Snape. So from the beginning, people are very interested in this character. Number one, because he has a mysterious background. And here, this is my spin on it. Because the Severus Snape fandom is like mostly like middle-aged women, right? They're also teen girls, but middle-aged women like very much immediately clock into the Snape of it all. And I think it's because, especially in like the first three books, like until we get Remus Lupin, he's the only like single adult man that you could project that kind of fantasy onto. Like all by book, like all the main characters are children. And then there's like Dumbledore, who's like an ancient wizard. And like Hagrid, who's Hagrid.
I mean, I couldn't even understand a Hagrid lore. Like
that does not exist at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want like a giant dick?
I think like it's Girthmaster.
I've been watching a lot of Girthmaster videos.
I think there's like he's like characterized as too goofy.
Interesting. But there's like a whimsy and he can like build a house and pick you up and shit.
I'm sure it exists out there, but like,
Severus
people are very different. And then later there's like people, the fandom is always kind of divided into like who you ship. It's very like romantically driven. So like right now, and it's existed for a long time, but there's a fandom, there's a ship called Wolfstar, which is Remus Lupin and Sirius together, that they were like young and that they were lovers. And that has like a huge community behind it.
Interesting.
And then when I was coming up in fan fiction, there was Drarry, which is Draco Harry, which I'm sure still exists.
Everybody, that's
Slashfic is huge. So there's a lot of like gay main big ships. But the Snape stuff was just kind of about Snape and like you, like your original.
Interesting.
It was about like you fantasizing about getting fucked by Snape, not you fantasizing about like Sirius and Lupin fucking each other.
Interesting.
So, okay. We start to get the books.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why did Voldemort target Lily and James?
Because of the prophecy from Sybil Trelawney delivers a prophecy to Dumbledore that Snape partially overhears, saying that a child born at the end of July whose parents have defeated him three different times is going to be the one who, like, can defeat him.
Okay.
And there were two babies that could possibly be. Neville and Harry. And for reasons we don't ever really know, Voldemort thinks it is Harry. And that's why Snape tells Voldemort about the prophecy, and then he's like, oh, it's the Potters. And Snape freaks out because he's going to kill Lily. He tries to get him to agree not to kill Lily, but Voldemort's kind of...
Like, yeah, you can't get him like...
He's like, if I can spare her, I'll try, but, like, I'm not going to promise you that I'm not going to kill her.
But he kills... Yeah, so, wait, but no one tries to kill Neville's parents?
No.
I thought Neville's parents were dead, though.
Neville's parents were tortured by Bellatrix Lestrange, and they are in St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies and Injuries.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
So because there's like lore about Neville.
Neville could have been the chosen one.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
Just was not, because he just simply wasn't chosen. It's kind of part of it. Mm-hmm. Part of the prophecy is like Voldemort will mark you as his equal. So that's what Harry's scar is. It's like Voldemort like choosing him, literally like physically giving him, marking him
So he goes to kill Lily and James and kills them. But then Harry, like, fights back. He was an infant. And then, like, Voldemort kind of...
Voldemort kills Lily. Okay. Voldemort initially is going to spare Lily.
We need
Lily.
To put a spoiler alert.
I know. Yeah, but also, like,
yeah,
it's Harry Potter, whatever. Yeah. Voldemort does try to spare Lily in that he tells her to step aside, but she jumps in between his killing curse and Harry. That action creates a... basically, like, super powerful magical protection around Harry. Like, the act of her giving up her life
for him. Damn, so James didn't even try?
No, James was killed downstairs, and he did try to save
him. Okay.
But he's killed downstairs, and he, like, tells Lily to fight them up, and then Lily is upstairs in Harry's nursery. Voldemort kills James. He goes upstairs. Lily jumps in between them. Because of that act, the killing curse rebounds off Harry, hits Voldemort, and Voldemort becomes this weird ghost.
Yeah, so he loses his...
He loses his...
So it's kind of like Oedipus,
There's a lot... It's like a resurrection story. It's all in there. But basically, from the beginning, Snape is like this mysterious, is he bad, is he not bad figure. And then we find out that, like, he did turn before the end of the war. And then he, like, dedicated himself to protecting Harry because he loves Lily. But he's still an asshole to Harry.
Yeah.
Like, you're still abusive to this kid for no reason because you don't like his dad. Because you're mad that his dad got with your girl.
But I'm also like, move on.
Well, that's the growth. I'm like, that's like the thing where it's like, this is fucking weird. And like, people get Harry Potter tattoos that say like always on them, because that's what he says about Lily. Is Dumbledore's like, after all this time, and he's like, always. Like, I will always love her. And it's like, you called her the wizard N-word and you tried to kill her family.
But also, like, there are a lot of single wizard bitches.
No evidence that Snape ever had a romantic relationship with literally anyone else, except for in fan fiction where he was fucking all the time.
Ridiculous. I'm going
to... Oh, yeah, no problem. So, by the year 2000, the Snape fandom is, like, super duper cooking. And 2000 is when we get Goblet of Fire. So now, at this point, we do know a little bit about, like, Harry's dad and his friends, Lupin, Sirius, and the fact that they have, like, this long-term animosity from when they were kids, where they both, like... In the fifth book, Harry definitely sees his dad bullying Snape, but it also kind of... You kind of find out, like, they both antagonized each other.
Yeah.
Like, they...
Mutual abuse, as they say.
Yeah, mutual abuse, but, bullshit. Like, Snape was... James was actually, like, cool and had a bunch of friends, and Snape was, like, a weird loner. But anyway, so... But what we know by book four is, like, a little bit about that. We haven't seen that scene where Harry, like, goes into Snape's memories and, like, remembers, sees him being bullied. We don't know anything about him loving Lily or any of that stuff yet. We just know that, like, he was kind of bullied by Harry's dad and that he's, like, sad and has a dark past.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fodder for fan fiction. Mm-hmm. Then Live Journal is, like, a huge place where this is going on. Were you ever a Live Journal person?
No. Too much writing for me.
I was very much a Live Journal person because of fan fiction and fandom stuff. There was, like, a lot of talking about the fandom on there, and then there was a lot of fan art on there. I saw crazy fan art on there. Early 2000s, I can't speak for fan fiction now. I think now there's, like, ethics around, like, who you, people talk about ethics around, like, who you can ship and
Stuff like that. It's children, like, it's children characters and all this stuff.
None of that was being talked about when
people do that now. Like, on Black Twitter, there's this whole discussion because they'll use, like, memes of DW, like, from Arthur, and be like, when I get that dick so hard in me, or, like, my booty hole or something, and it's like a picture of DW, like, and it's like, she's a child, like, you can't be doing... So it's like similar ethics conversations are happening. Yeah. I was outside when I was a kid. I was playing. I had a pool in my house in Florida. I had a trampoline. I was roughhousing. I was in choir. I was doing shit.
I was absolutely on these forums and then going to play practice. And I'm wandering around my neighborhood, like, causing light trouble. But I spent a lot of time on these forums. And let me tell you, if those conversations were happening, I was not aware of them. I saw all manner of pairings, drawings of things I'll never forget. It was sexual. A lot of fan fiction is extremely sexual.
Yeah.
So LiveJournal is a huge place where the Snape fandom starts coming together to talk about Snape, writing long essays about Snape and what they think about Snape. And there's a semi-famous one. I mean, none of this is that famous, but from a user, Rattlesnake Root. It's an essay called Dear Miss Rowling, Why Don't You Care About My Good Guy Syndrome? And it ends with the line, please, Miss Rowling, stop telling lies about this character. He is a good guy. So that kind of speaks to this idea that Snape is a character that J.K. Rowling is like getting wrong and that he is somehow separate from her and not like someone she literally made up.
Okay. And they're just saying like, you're making him an asshole and he's not an
asshole. Yeah, you're making him out to be a bad guy and like he's not. And it's like, well, he is, he's whatever she writes down. Yeah. But they don't believe that. They believe and will come to believe that J.K. Rowling is like a conduit of this story and that she got some parts of it wrong. But that Snape is actually the more powerful being that exists for real. It's like the Gospels.
Interesting.
Like she is but a human vessel for the story of Severus Snape. And you know, so it's imperfect.
It's interesting because similar conversations happen with Real Housewives, where it's like, why are you editing this footage to make this person look like a bad person when it's like, just a bad person? Like, it's like Andy Cohen doesn't have that much fucking control. But sometimes they do villain outlets. But
and at least there is in that world, like a plausibility of like stuff we're not seeing.
Yeah.
Like JK, like.
Yeah. No, this is crazy.
The invention of the one. But though I will say, they are kind of the original J.K. Rowling haters in the fandom. So they were ahead of their time in that way. They were like, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just their reasoning was because they thought she was being mean to Severus Snape. So
a fictional character, yeah.
So 2000 to 2003 is known in Harry Potter fandom as the long summer because that's when we waited 3 years to get Order of the Phoenix. And that's when I think I really got involved in like fan fiction stuff because people are like waiting for this book to come out and they don't know what it's going to be. And Voldemort has just come back to power at the end of the last book. And like we get the first like death in the books. So it's like a really intense cliffhanger.
Because Prisoner of Azkaban.
Goblet of Fire.
Goblet of Fire is Cedric Diggory.
Yes, Cedric Diggory dies and Voldemort comes back to power. And then we're left for 3 years. And that's the longest gap there's ever been between books. And people, there's a lot of fan fiction. Everything's cooking and stirring. That's when I wrote my fan fiction. So 2005, Order of the Phoenix comes out, and then we get that famous scene where Harry like goes back into Snape's memory, and we see young Snape being bullied, and then we see him call Lily the Wizard N-word. So it's in this environment that Snapeism begins to grow.
Okay.
So the most famous Snapists were three women named Conchita, Rose, and Tanya.
Oh, God.
I don't have their last names. That's okay. And I don't want to. We need to. Conchita, Rose, and Tanya did what they did, and they've moved on in their life.
I hope so. What did they do, Elise? Come on.
So, Rose and Tanya are kind of more leaders than Conchita, but I think Conchita is like a facilitator of different websites. Okay. She eventually starts a tribute website to Snape after his death, after the seventh book. So Conchita's like, it's kind of like Rose and Tanya over here, Conchita over here, though they are all interacting. They are super active on LiveJournal. And they're basically putting out what we would now call content.
Okay.
Some of it is fan fiction that is like, it is just fan fiction starring themselves and Snape, but I guess it's like supposed to be like divinely inspired fan fiction. And some is them claiming to have had all of these experiences with, like, the magical Snape entity who they can talk to on the astral plane when they're dreaming. Any questions?
No, I have... No, like, the... Okay, no.
Yeah, so...
But they... Okay, so Snapeists are the people who... No, it's not just the fandom. It's like they have religious.
Yeah. So like there are just Snape fans who don't think that he's like a secret astral being.
They just want to like fuck him in his fantasy.
Yeah. There are just everyday women fantasizing about fucking Snape and writing about it. They are separate from the Snapeists who have taken it now to the astral plane.
Okay.
They are like a subset of a subset of a fandom. So it's not like a huge group of are doing this, but it's enough that there's kind of an interesting online record of their beliefs. So also I will say that all three, Conchita, Rose, and Tanya, all also would complain about being unhappy at home with their husbands. So kind of
well, girl. Let's dial it in and talk to your husband.
Like, yeah, Christ. I'm like, there's something there. So let's talk about their beliefs. The Snapists' beliefs are basically a multiverse theory where the Harry Potter books are this imperfect account of Snape's actions in the Second Wizard War. But Snape is this super powerful being that can travel from his universe where the Harry Potter books are a real thing that happened to our universe where they are this book by J.K. Rowling. He can travel between worlds because he's very powerful. So he's not a god in the sense that like he created the universe. He's more a god in like a Greek god sense almost, where like he's super powerful and he can do stuff for you and he can fuck with you and he can like.
So the two universes are the ones that we exist now and the Harry Potter one. Is that what they're saying?
Yes, I think that they would probably say that there are other universes like that exist, but their primary concern are the two, one in which Severus Snape is real and he can travel from that universe to our universe.
I mean,
to fuck you in your sleep.
I mean, call Marvel, baby. This is
I know, I'm like,
content. This is literally like X-Men right now, so
I know, it's like they were doing JKR hate first, they were doing multiverse theory.
Really?
Like, so also in their beliefs, Snape is like an omniscient being, like he can see and hear them at all times, and he can like save them from bad situations. So there's one instance where Tanya says that her workplace was being burglarized and she heard Snape's voice call to her and like tell her to go defend herself. And also that he once physically shoved someone who was attacking her. So this is a direct quote from Tanya. I believe that Severus Snape exists independently of JKR. He is a living, feeling spirit. I believe anything is possible and that Severus does visit those that he chooses to. So Tanya is also the only one who claims that she personally can channel Snape. And she also says that Snape channels her husband, which you can imagine why he would do that.
I mean, yeah, like, I wonder if the Salem witch trials, if they were just writing fan fiction and people are like, you guys are fucking off. We have to burn you at the stake or drown you.
Listen, if you go back, if you watch the 3-hour long Snape Wives video, she goes back deep into like the history of fandom. Like, this is not new behavior. It's just being channeled through the character of Severus Snape. But people have been obsessing over, like, creating sexual obsessions for a very long time. Let's see. Oh, okay. Snape Wives, they would usually have, like, a sacred poster room or space where they would do, like, Snape stuff. I don't really know what the Snape stuff was. I guess they would say prayers to him or light a candle. I don't really know. They do call him Master in a very creepy way.
That is creepy.
There's rules against calling him, like, diminutive names like Sev or Sevipoo. That's, like, considered disrespectful.
Oh, it's like, God damn it. Like, that's, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, considered disrespectful. Yeah, like, you shouldn't be calling him a cutesy name. He's God, basically.
At least I hate this.
You're going to hate what I have for you next even more. Because they also got married to Snape, Millie, on the astral plane. And I have their wedding vows. And I was wondering
if three of them or
any Snape wife who wanted to would get married to Snape on the astral plane. I was wondering if you would read their wedding vows aloud for us.
I'm
breaking
out in hives.
I know, like, spiritually, if you feel uncomfortable because maybe you'll be married to Severus Snape as a result, but.
These are longer than my brother's wedding vows. And I wrote my brother's wedding vows. I copied it from wedding.com.
They are lengthy.
I promise to be always faithful in body and mind and never love another man. I promise to love and cherish you all of my life. I promise to respect and honor you all of my life. I promise to dedicate all my life to you. I promise to stand by you in the good and bad times. I promise to protect and guard you and prevent you from any harm. I promise to provide anything you need for you. I promise to take the best care of you. I promise to use your name with the respect it deserves. I promise to wear the ring with your name in it as a symbol of my love. I promise to obey you no matter what. I promise to respect your wishes and not be selfish. I promise to look after you in sickness and in health. I solemnly promise all of this to you, Severus Snape, my only love. May these words create a strong, loving bond, which can only be broken by death. If I break the promises made or treat you not in the manner I should be, I'll make sure I'll die. May all the good forces and spirits bless our love internally so it will be done. I have a question.
What if you were just immediately sucked up into like a vortex? Like, I'm like, oh my God, Severus Snape just appeared and took Millie away.
Honestly, better than like some of the... This guy messaged me today and was like, hey, what's up? You want to smoke? Meet up and smoke? And I'm like, what happened to good morning?
Yeah, like, hi, you? Queen.
Hi, no, no.
We can't even get hi, Queen. You want to smoke?
I think it was, hey, beautiful. Do you want to smoke?
Okay.
But still, I'm like, can we talk a little bit? Like, what's going on?
No, and Snape would never do that.
Okay, my question is, how did the Snapeist feel about Alan Rickman?
I think that Alan Rickman features actually heavily into the fantasizing about Snape because
Alan Rickman was straight, right?
Yes, I think he was married to a woman. I think that Alan Rickman helped. Okay. I think that Alan Rickman...
So they like it, Alan Rickman.
I think they like Alan Rickman. My best, I don't...
Because I'm like, if they think that Snape exists, what about the man who is Snape? Like, are they stalking him? What's going on?
A big facet, they're not stalking him because I do think they think he exists independent of Snape, this entity.
Okay, so, but not J.K. Rowling.
But J.K. Rowling is channeling him. I don't know if they thought that maybe Alan Rickman was channeling him as well to like do the performance. But one of the big facets of this, which I did find because there is literally an academic paper on Snape Wives.
Oh my God.
Hold on, let me find. It's by Zoe Alderton, and it's called Snape Wives and Snapeism, a fiction-based religion within the Harry Potter fandom. And she has a bunch of like screenshots of old stuff she found. And a lot of it is like Rose, Tanya, and Conchita photoshopping these weird pictures of them as brides with Alan Rickman's Snape. So I do think that they liked him as a...
What school did she fucking write this paper at?
That I don't know, but it was her like PhD candidacy paper. And I mean, it's really fucking good.
I mean, it is super interesting. And like, it says a lot of stuff about, yeah, I wish I had like multiple lives existing at once because I would... get a PhD.
Yeah.
I would go to law school, be a judge, get a judge TV show. I would do a lot of things. But
I know. If they're multiverse theory, if you were a super powerful being that could travel,
I would get a PhD and I would want to write a PhD thesis on the difference between soap operas in different cultures.
Ooh, someone should give Millie money to do it. Okay. This is going to take us. So all of this is happening. Kind of between 2000 and 2005 is where the Snape Wives are like really, really cooking online. So that's like books. I actually have the little calendar here.
And
that's,
is it in America or all over the world?
You know, I imagine it is probably primarily America and the UK.
Oh my, it's George Bush's fault.
I just realized that I was thinking of Rose and Conchita and Tanya as American, but I don't actually know that.
Well,
I don't actually know that.
You don't know.
So it's happening primarily between the releases of Goblet of Fire and Half-Blood Prince. By the time the final book is coming out, it's already sort of starting to wane. Like the final book comes out in 2007. It starts to fall off in like 2006 when the Snapeists are featured on a live journal called Fandom_Wank.
Okay. Which Wank is jerk off.
Yes. So this Fandom Wank, I guess, is like a live journal that was dedicated to showing like the weirdest parts of a fandom and like making fun of them, basically.
Oh, like snark and like...
Yes, it's basically like a snark page.
snark or shaming.
Yes.
On Facebook, it's called shaming. On Reddit, it's called snark.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, I thought it was like porn fandom. No, it's making fun of them.
It's making fun of them.
Oh, they're like wankers.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like saying like wank was popular in 2006.
Well, I'm British. I told you.
Yeah.
Well, French guy would say wink. Like,
yeah. Like
to mean inject.
I also just feel like it was olive popular oil to on inner, like internet circles. I don't know. So anyway, they appear on Fandom Wank and now like their spot has been blown up. So they were like, they were basically in their own little corner of the weird internet fantasizing about Severus Snape, having sex with them in a dream.
Marrying him,
whatever. Minding their own business, really, okay, in this corner of the internet. But once they are hosted to Fandom Wank, now they start, Fandom Wank starts cyberbullying the Snape wives and they're being mean to them. And now they're kind of like getting, I don't know, harassed online, I guess, because of this stuff. And now like people are infiltrating their little world.
Okay. You know what this reminds me of? Modern day example. Our first grass hole ever, Club Chalamet.
Yes.
Where it's like, it was just this weird woman who was in her, you know, middle age. And she just loved Timothy Chalamet. And then a bunch of people found her and they kind of make fun of her, but
yeah, it is.
She's living her life.
I think Club Chalamet is happier with her life than the Snape wives are.
Yeah, no, she's not like fake stuff. I'm like, this bitch is traveling.
Yeah,
she's going to London. She's going to Rome. She lives in LA. She's going, whatever.
She's doing whatever she wants, but it is similar in that it's like, it's just a bunch of weird middle-aged ladies doing their, they're not hurting anybody.
You know what? I'm sorry. She is the one that's like Snape channels her husband.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably having insane sex. Yeah. He's like, dude, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you fucking want, we are fucking.
Yeah, whatever. I'll pretend to be Severus Snape.
I'll wear. Yeah, he's getting his back blown out.
Absolutely.
There are married couples that wish they had that level. What is it? Is somebody going to match my
freak? Exactly. He was matching her freak 100%.
Oh, 100%.
And I do think there was a point where she was like, my husband told me Snape isn't real, but then I do feel like he probably, like, the first time she was like, Snape is channeling you to fuck me, and then that they did that, he was like, yeah, no, the Snape thing's totally real. Yeah, whatever. And honestly, I hope she was fucking happy. She thinks she's getting laid by Severus Snape. He knows he's getting laid by his wife.
Well, whatever. Yeah, Snape. Like, listen.
Do whatever
you gotta do.
Okay, so while the cyberbullying is happening, uh-huh, also, Conchita is having a falling out with Rose and Tanya because Conchita has gone public with her feelings that Tanya cannot actually channel Severus Snape.
Wow. Shots fired.
Yeah, basically, Conchita's like, I don't actually think you're channeling Severus Snape.
You're lying. We're the real ones, but you're not.
Yeah. She's like, I think one of her things is like, maybe you channeled him at one time.
Oh, shit.
But I don't think that you're like channeling him with the frequency. Like, I don't think that you're chosen by him in this way. Also, in my research, I read that Conchita was like an advocate for other Snape wives who were being silenced by Rose and Tanya. So like Rose and Tanya would like, they would post bitchy stuff that was like, Snape does not like giggling little fangirls and like all of this, which is just
okay,
really
not the misogyny in the Snape.
I know. Yeah.
It always comes in. It always comes in.
So I think Conchita would be like, you guys don't actually know like what Snape wants, and like we're all dedicated to Snape, and like you guys aren't the be all end all of like who is dedicated to Snape, and you don't get to decide. Rose and Tanya actually know each other in real life. They're some of the only Snape wives who know each other in real life because they live nearby. But I realized I don't know where
what
that
country?
Nearby is. It's got to be U.S. or the United States. I feel
U.S.
like.
Or the
or United sorry,
States.
United
or
Kingdom.
Or the United Kingdom.
U.S. or U.K., I feel. So Rose and Tanya start having a falling out.
Oh, shit.
And this is pretty much considered like the final nail in the coffin between the cyberbullying, Conchita splitting off and kind of creating her own segment of the Snape Wives, and now this. Rose starts to become obsessed with the NCIS character Agent Gibbs. And she...
okay, I have to look this guy up. Is it the old one? I'm gonna look him up.
Look up Agent Gibb.
What? But I mean, in a way that it's like channeling him.
Not in the same level as Snape, but like Agent Gibbs starts becoming a secondary.
Yeah, it is the one that I thought.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
Everyone
the fuck?
Google Agent Gibbs.
He literally looks like, I mean, he looks like he could play Joe Biden in a movie.
Yes. He's like an older, like Silver Fox type guy.
But not even like the hottest one.
No.
I don't know.
No, I don't find him particularly hot. But again, like these are, he's strong jaw.
He looks like the Golden Bachelor.
So, okay. Rose starts photoshopping images with Snape and Agent Gibbs together. And Tanya does
Golden
not.
Sorry. Golden Bachelor is hotter than Agent Gibbs.
He's tanner. Okay. He's got that crazy tan. Okay, so Rose starts photoshopping Snape and Agent Gibbs together. And Tanya's like, that's disrespectful. You can't photoshop Snape and Agent Gibbs together. Because Snape is like their god, and Agent Gibbs is
That is using the Lord's name.
And yeah, that is if you actually believe in Snapeism, that is disrespectful to Photoshop Snape with Agent Gibbs.
Okay,
I think we can all agree it was disrespectful for Rose to Photoshop Agent Gibbs and Snape together if Snape is an omniscient, powerful god who's helping them.
There is something like telling that your one crush is like an incel wizard racist, and the other one is a cop.
That is,
this girl would kill on Tinder because it's all fucking cops and incel wizard racist and actual racist.
So, okay, the combination of these three things mean that, like, okay, by the time the last book is released, there's a little uptick in the Snape wives because Snape is killed and some of them don't want to believe he's really been killed. And some of them are like Conchita starts a page that is like, in tribute to him. She believes he's been killed, but then there are other ones who try to start a petition for J.K. Rowling to like bring him back to life, but it does only get 220 signatures. So this is not a huge movement, but they made a big splash.
Okay.
By 2010, they have basically disappeared from the internet because, again, this is the old internet. It's all happening on like archived forums and live journals and all this stuff. None of these profiles were tied to like people's real full names and images and all of that shit.
And so, now Facebook and shit, now you can, you know.
Yeah, now you can, you know, but again, I looked at this academic paper. She does have like, you can find pictures of Rose, Conchita, and Tanya, but for the most part, like their full names are not out there. Most of the other people who participated in this, they took down all their pages kind of because of the cyberbullying, also because they probably grew out of this weird thing. But it's gone from the internet unless you do like Wayback Machine or like one of those like things that archives pages. It's not easy to find any of this anyway. They kind of wipe themselves off the face of the fandom, which I feel like is so... I feel like the thing that's interesting about this is it is like the perfect encapsulation of an early internet thing because now like you couldn't be a Snape wife and be writing as much as these women wrote and like putting out that much content and that many blogs and all of that stuff and not have it be tied back to you.
Yeah.
Like your LinkedIn would be tied to it at some point.
Yeah. Also that is kind of like the criticism of the current internet now is that there aren't as many fringe fun sites. Like there used to be like websites that just exist for this one thing. And now it's all through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or these social media sites that like kind of monopolized it, use it for ad space, use it for everything. And like, you have to kind of have your name and address tied to every single thing because they want to sell shit to you.
And even if you're like a person who has like a burner account or whatever, and you're like, people can track. I think you, in a lot of cases, you can trace things back to people and figure out who somebody is, even if they don't have like their username, whatever. I mean, it takes digging. This is like true early internet shit where like if someone's just posting as Rose to LiveJournal, like you're not going to find Rose. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find Tanya and you're not going to find Conchita unless you find these old pictures that they posted of themselves photoshopped with Snape. But I don't think anyone is also like hugely motivated to out their identities at this moment. Please don't out Conchita Rosentaña
now. They're like, they have to be in their like 60s now.
So they do disappear from the internet. And then this is a quote from that academic paper that I think sums everything up in a nice way. And then we'll get our final thoughts. So, with all of the big name fans gone or fighting with each other, Snapeism kind of fell apart. The death of Snapeism has been attributed to numerous things. Some Snapists blame J.K. Rowling for handling Snape's spirit so poorly and not writing the truth. Still others say it was all Snape's plan. He is omniscient, after all. Snape created the world, and he can end it, too. But most Snape wives just vanished quietly into the background without saying anything, deleting LiveJournal pages and frenzied fanfic as they left and leaving only archive.org pages in their wake.
Okay.
So that is the story of the Snape wives. A little blip of an internet movement, but a layered and interesting one, to say the least.
Yeah. I don't know why you have to make a religion out of, like, that's so, but I guess, like, you know, I mean, I think we're living in interesting times now, as, like, for so long, community has been around, your community has been around people who are your same race, your same class, and religion. And as religion becomes less relevant, truly, people are creating new communities everywhere and it in different ways. Like, and it's interesting that this is one of them, but you know, Soul Cycle and all that shit. Like, they're all like different communities that people find, like, whatever. But it's just, it's interesting that these women
latched onto Severus Snape in this particular way. Well, it's also like back in the day, nuns were considered to be like married to God, and like,
and I'm sure they wrote fan fiction about God.
Yeah. Well, if you read back to like how some like women would like talk about certain saints and stuff, there was weird sexual obsession. I think it has to do, I am like, why make it a religion? And I'm like, because then it's like you have this, I think these women were bored and lonely and not happy with their husbands, and they were like, what if there was this like sexy bad boy superpower guy who was actually like with me all the time and like watching me, and he could like help you get like a 2-for-1 deal. Like, he would like,
and protect you and all that stuff.
Yeah, like all the stuff that a god provides you, he was providing them. And I guess they just, you know, they probably all started just writing the sexy fan fiction. And then you get deeper and deeper into writing the sexy fan fiction, and you're getting so much like more validation and joy out of the fan fiction world that you're like, what if, maybe your brain is like, what if I just made this real?
Yeah.
But it's wild.
It is wild, and it's wild that they're all married too. It's, yeah. I hope they all find
I hope that wherever they are, they're great. They could be among us anytime. You could be near a Snape wife at any moment, and well, you would never know, because they faded into obscurity in a way that I don't think exists for people online anymore.
Well,
all right, well, we'll log out and I'll show you.
Well, I want to stop talking about this.
And I will show you their pictures offline. Yes. Everyone else, don't try to find them. But you can read the essay if you want.
We'll link the essay in the show notes.
Yeah, we can link the essay. And I'll link that, like, if you want to watch a 3-hour-long YouTube video that goes, that uses this as, like, a framework to talk about, like, literally, like, what makes a religion, what the history of fandom. It's like a deeper philosophical look. I'll link that as well. Yeah. But guys,
until then,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum podcast.